Well, we thank the Lord for speaking to us this morning, and let's just continue to press into Him that He would come, He would visit us, and He would work in amazing ways. Now, this morning, I just want to continue on love. We did the first one last Sunday morning, or a week before that. And we'll continue on the same theme this morning. 1 Corinthians 13:13. You know, love, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Those three abide: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. So love is something we need to major on by the grace of God. We've talked about faith and what can be accomplished by faith and the power of faith. And faith is so important because without faith we cannot please God. But then there's hope. You know, a confident expectation of good, of God's purposes coming to pass, and holding on to Him in hope. But Paul says the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. And, you know, Jesus summarized the whole of the Old Testament basically in two commands: that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, with our whole being. And if we're going to do that, we've got to follow the admonitions that we received this morning about surrendering fully to the Lord and letting the Lord come into every room, every area of our life, every part of us, every area of our life. Jesus must be Lord. He must be first. And if we're going to love the Lord with our whole being, He must have control of us. Self has to go. So the Lord is number one. He is first. He is foremost. He is preeminent. And we desire to live, not for self, but we desire to live to please Him, to love Him, to serve Him, to fellowship with Him. And then, of course, that second commandment Jesus gave: to love thy neighbor as thyself, which is similar. There's differences, but it's similar to the new commandment that Jesus gave. And, you know, just a few days before Jesus went to the cross, gathered His disciples there, He took the towel and He got the basin of water. And He went round one by one, and Jesus, you know, washed the feet, the dirty, smelly feet of the disciples. Here the Creator of the universe could come down from glory. Not only did He take on the form of humanity, but then He became a servant. And that was the job of the lowest servant. And then after that had happened, later on in that chapter, Jesus gives the new commandment. And that new commandment, it's about love. A new command, verse 34, 35 of John 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. In other words, Jesus is saying, well, how will people know we are disciples? How will they know? He didn't say, you know, when you preach at them. No. But He said, if you love one another, if you love one another. And 34, 35. Three times Jesus says, love one another, love one another, love one another. Now that word, it's divine love. Obviously we can't work it up. It's divine love. It's agape love. It's a love that comes from God himself. And often the word love today, you know, we have so many different meanings for the word love. And it's used in so many different ways, in so many different contexts. And possibly, love could be the most important word in the whole of the English language. And yet, maybe the most confusing. Thousands of books, thousands of songs, magazines, movies are all about love. And the need to feel loved, it's something that's given from God. It's a primary human emotional need. You know, for love, people will climb mountains, cross seas, traverse desert lands, endure all kinds of difficulties and hardships. The word love can be, as I say, somewhat confusing because people also talk, well, you know, I love ice cream. I love chocolates. I love hamburgers. But in the next breath, they're saying, well, I love my dad. I love my mum. I love my cat. I love fishing. I love skiing. I love my car. I love flowers, trees. I love when the sun is shining, sunny weather. And so it goes on. Or I love this girl. Or I love that guy. Pastor Tucker in his classes on marriage and the family shares a story of a young man in Africa, and he wanted to show his love to the young lady he wanted to marry. And, you know, in his particular village or his particular area in Africa, men were expected to, you know, pay a dowry in order to procure a wife, to get a wife. And in this particular village, I think it was for two cows, you could get a wife. But this man was a bit different. He wanted a special wife, so he worked very hard. And, you know, he showed his love by, you know, working hard, saving up, and purchasing not just two cows, which was all he needed, but purchasing 10 cows. And so he paid a dowry to get his wife in that village, you know, 10 cows. And the story spread around. You know, people talked that she must be very, very special. And, you know, maybe she thought, well, this man is willing to pay 10 cows for me. You know, she was a 10 cow wife. And because he invested so much in her, you know, it affected the way she responded. And, you know, she responded, you know, maybe in a very different way than if he'd only paid two cows for her. And, you know, Jesus, he gave his life for us. And showing his love, giving the supreme sacrifice, and by dying on the cross. And we have that supreme sacrifice. And the word, the word for husbands loving their wives, which the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians 5:25, is that divine love, agape love. Husbands, you know, love your wives. Now, in the Greek language, there are several different words for love and different aspects of its meaning, which, you know, we don't have in English. And we have the one English word for love, and no matter what we are loving, whether it's loving ice cream or loving a boyfriend or a girlfriend or everything, is just one word, love. But in the Greek, there are at least four different Greek words that describe different aspects of love. And the first one is eros. And that speaks of romantic love. It's not really used in the New Testament. It's the affection between husbands and wives, you know, physical love within marriage. And that is not just for reproduction, but for mutual enjoyment and pleasure between husband and wife, and between one man, between one woman, in the context of a covenant, the covenant of marriage. And today we're living in an age where, you know, there's so much sin, there's so much immorality. The devil has perverted what God has given, what is good and holy, perverted it. And today we see, you know, terrible immorality. We see divorce. We see thousands of people living together without being married at all. Fornication. We see homosexuality, homosexual marriages, and so many different perversions of what God has created and what God is good. So many terrible consequences. There's another word for love, a second word for love, which is used in the Greek, and that is the word storge. And that refers basically to family love, the love between parents and children. And this aspect of love is very important in the church and brings stability. And sadly, we're seeing in America, we're seeing all over the world, you know, the breakdown of what God has established and the breakdown of marriage. And, you know, so many marriages not lasting. Many people don't even get married. Those who do, so many end up breaking up or in divorce. And the love between parents and children has, you know, deteriorated so much. And often, you know, there's terrible hatred. And we read even murder in some cases between parents and children. And, you know, we desperately need God to move in families. And in the last days, the Bible speaks about the ministry of Elijah, Malachi 4, 5 and 6. And it tells there that the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children, and the hearts of the children will be turned to the fathers. And so we can believe God and see a restoration, you know, of marriage and the family, even to the highest level, you know, in these last days. Now, a third word which is used for love is a word, the Greek word phileo. And phileo is basically human love, you know, reciprocal love. You know, you give something to me and I'll give you something back. It's the love of a friend, the love that friends have one for another. It's a human love. It relates to the soul. A love which relates, you know, especially to the emotions, feelings. It relates to the mind, the intellect. Can relate to the will. It's a love that responds. And non-Christians also can have phileo love. You be kind to me, I'll be kind back to you. And often phileo, you know, binds, you know, people together. And I mean, it's good, it's needed. It's love of maybe a love of a hobby, a love of a language, a love of some particular interest that people have, love of a certain sport. And that's the basis, that's the foundation of the love. And that phileo love, that human love, that was very close bond between David and between Jonathan. And there was nothing sensual or wrong about that. But we know that the love we are talking about and the love that it speaks about when Jesus summarizes the whole of the Old Testament with two commandments, and both of them are about love, that certainly is not eros, it's not storge, it's not phileo, but it's agape. It is a divine love. It's the love of God. It's the love that's used most cases in the New Testament. It's the love that's used in John 3:16. God so loved the world, agape, that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's a love that's used when Jesus gave the new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Agape love. Agape love. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So agape love is not human. Agape love. We can't work up agape love. It is divine. It is from God. It is unconquerable love. And that's the love that God is wanting to develop in our hearts. That's the love that Paul says, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest. Why is love the greatest? Well, that is the essence of God. God is love. God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8. 1 John 4 and verse 16. It says, God is love. God is love. He is love. He's agape love. Love is the very character. It is the very essence of God. It is the very essence of God. And love is something that we must pursue. That divine love, we want to be developed. We want it to grow. We want it to come to a higher degree in our lives. That is the love, the agape love. The fourth Greek word is agape, which speaks of God's love, God's divine love. And that's the love in Ephesians 5, verse 25, when it says, you know, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ, as a divine love, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So he died on the cross. And God wants our relationships, you know, to be grounded on divine love. You know, human love can be very superficial. When there are tests or differences of opinion, human love, like, it burns up, doesn't last. Human love cannot pass through the fire of God. But agape love can. And agape love, it's commitment. Agape love causes, you know, a husband to sacrifice himself. Agape love causes us to love our brother or sister, at times sacrificially. Agape love is a love that gives and gives and gives, even if that love is not reciprocated. Agape love is a love that chooses, you know, the highest good for one another, the highest good for our wife, for husbands, for one another, as we love one another with the agape love of the Lord. Agape love is not just a feeling. It's not just something ooey-gooey out there. But it's a choice for the other's highest good. Even as Christ, the bridegroom, had set his will, you know, to love the church. Agape love is loving one another, loving our wives, loving one another. In that same unselfish way that God loved the church. And so, you know, we can't attain to that agape love by ourselves. I mean, it's an incredibly high standard. We can't do it in our own. We will fail miserably. But as we depend upon the Lord and rely upon the Holy Ghost, it is possible. It is possible. If it was not possible, Jesus would not have said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another." He wouldn't have, it would not have been a command if it was not possible. Now, it's not possible in our own strength, that is for sure. But it is possible. I have not attained yet, but I want to press on. I desire that to be developed more in my life. And I trust you do also, that we would grow in the agape love of God. It's a divine love. And as we look to the Lord wants to, you know, impart that love in our lives. And for that to be such a top priority and a high focus in our lives. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest, the most important, the highest is love. And so love is not just some gooey feeling or emotion. It is a commitment for a husband. It's a commitment to his wife. And there should be a commitment, even that we love one another in the family of God, even in the local church, a commitment. Not just pleasing self, but thinking of others before self. As Jesus did, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved us, agape. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your incredible love for us. Lord, we don't even understand. It's unsearchable. It's incomprehensible. The love that you had. Lord, you were totally obedient to the Father. You were willing to leave the glory of heaven. And Lord, you came to earth. You took the form of a lower servant. And you went lower than that. You allowed yourself to be crucified on the cross. Because of your agape love, your unselfish love for us. So we can be saved. And Lord, love is the essence, the very being of who you are. And Lord, we say this morning, Lord, we want to be more like you. Change us, Lord. Change us into your image. Change us into your likeness. Maybe we'd be willing to have a commitment, be willing to sacrifice where you lead, even for one another. And Lord, we pray that in each one of our lives, Lord, you would develop, you would strengthen, we would increase in agape love, even your supernatural love. Oh God, Father, we pray that you would just seal these thoughts in our hearts. And Lord, pray that you'd work them out in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.